Well, amen. Happy Easter to each and every one of you. It's good to be here. I know that your pastor would, or I guess he might have mixed emotions. I'm sure he's glad he's where he is, but I know that he would on an Easter Sunday love to be here with you. You know, as we were singing earlier, there was one phrase in one of the worship songs that we sang that said that the angels roar for Christ our King. I could not help but think, I wonder what that was like on that Easter morning. Because, you know, I'm sure that they had been privy to the conversation maybe between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. And maybe even up as they watched on Good Friday as the Savior was hung from Calvary's cross, that there was some anticipation of something about to happen. But when it happened, you know, you can be guided, you can be informed, you can be told about something, but there's something about it when you see it happen. Now, you and I weren't there to see it happen, and so we can only imagine. Seems to be a prominent phrase in Christian circles these days. But I'll tell you something, when you get saved, there's a roar within your soul that rises up within you. Because you've passed from death to life. I bring you greetings from Dr. J. Robert White, our executive director. And I want to thank you on his behalf and on behalf of your state missionaries for your partnership with Georgia Baptists all over the state of Georgia through the cooperative program as we seek to reduce lostness in Georgia. Over 75% of this state today, this morning, woke up lost without Christ. If nothing changes, and Christ were to return today, over 75% of the population of this state will spend eternity in hell. And that ought to move us. That ought to challenge us. That ought to stir our hearts to tell our story. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And as I was preparing for this morning, I was thinking, you know, on that first Christmas, God gave the world a gift that for the most part the world ignored. And throughout his ministry, they didn't want him. The vast majority of people in that day didn't want him, and apparently the vast majority of people in this day don't want him. But then came that first Easter. And that same world took that gift and nailed it to a cross in execution fashion. They killed that gift. They took that gift down from a cross and they put it in a borrowed tomb. And then came Easter morning. And then came the roar. And up from the grave he arose. And basically said, you can ignore me. You can kill me. But you can't live without me. And that's the story of redemption. That's the story of salvation. Paul says it this way. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Peter says it this way, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." John the Apostle says it this way, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Listen, folks, the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything. And it still changes everything. It's the most important event in human history. Easter's about change. It celebrates Jesus' resurrection from the grave. An event that changed the course of human history and is still changing lives today. And so this morning, I want to ask you a question. Well, I want to ask you several questions. And these are personal questions. They don't need looking to your right or your left. This is for you. Where are you in life right now? Where are you? Easy question. Didn't take much thought. I mean, that answer could go as far, I'm sitting at Crossroads Church, to I'm in a dead-end job, or my marriage is in trouble, or I'm dealing with an incurable disease, or I'm not sure where my child spent the night last. I mean, there's a lot of answers to that question. It's pretty simple. Where are you right now? Second question. Where are you headed? Because no matter where you are, you're headed somewhere. There's a destination out there. Third question. What will be the inevitable outcome if you keep going in the direction you're going? Because there will be an outcome. There are circumstances. There are results, and there can be consequences. Fourth question. Is that really where you want to end up? Is the direction that you've chosen, the path that you've chosen in life, the direction that you're headed, and the inevitable conclusion, the inevitable result out there, if you keep going in that direction, is that really where you want to end up? And then fifth question, if not, what's got to change? If that's not where you want to end up in your life, what's got to change? 1 Corinthians 15, and if you're able this morning, in honor of the Word of God, would you stand? I want to begin reading in verse 12. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 12, we'll read through verse 22, and then we'll skip to verse 50. "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain." In other words, we're just wasting our time this morning. Verse 15. "Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." And then there's a wonderful word. I learned in school that this is a contraction. That's about the extent of my English right there. But. Great word. Anytime you see the word "but," something's about to change. "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." Verse 50. "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Speak to our hearts, O Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear that we might hear what the Spirit of God would say to us this morning. And Lord, help us to hear well. For we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. It was the Easter season, and a family was gathered in their family room, and they were in front of the TV, and they were watching that classic Christian movie, The Greatest Story Ever Told. There was mom and dad, all the children, and but there was one of the daughters that as she sat and watched, she just seemed intensely glued to the TV. She was, as they say, she was into the story. And she watched as Jesus walked the Via Dolorosa carrying his cross up to Calvary. She watched as she stumbled beneath the load and Simon of Cyrene was put into service to carry the cross the rest of the way. She wept as they took him and they nailed him to that cross. She continued to weep later as they took him from that cross and they laid him in that borrowed tomb and they sealed the tomb. And then she smiled. And she looked at her family and she says, now the good part comes. Oh, beloved, there is a good part to Good Friday. There was the silence of Saturday. But then there was the glory of that first Easter. Oh, beloved, the resurrection is a reality. It changes everything. But you know, without the resurrection, Jesus was just another good man who died a needless death. I mean, without the resurrection, we could wonder, was he crazy? Was he delirious? What was he thinking to allow a perpetration of a lie to end up in his death? Was he just another religious fanatic? And without the resurrection, we could wonder. Without the resurrection, we wouldn't be happy today. We wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be worshiping today. We would still be in our sins. As Paul said, we would be still dead in our trespasses and sins. The cross would just be a meaningless tragedy. Jesus could not and would not have been our Savior. Furthermore, he would not be divine. You and I would have no hope for the future. We could not know the joy of salvation. Yes, without the resurrection, the gospel would be meaningless. Faith would be worthless. Present life would be joyless. Godly living would be fruitless. Future life would be hopeless. So do you understand what's at stake here? I mean, do you understand that without no gospel, without a resurrection, there's no gospel. Without a gospel, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without forgiveness of sin, there's no present joy. Without present joy, there's no future hope. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, much has changed. First of all, this morning, let me just remind you that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your past has changed. My past has changed. Or if you're not in Christ today, your past can't change. All of us have a past. I got a past. You got a past. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful today that my past is under the blood. I'll be honest, I can remember some of my past, and there's some unpleasant thoughts. There were some days that I was not a very good Harris. There were some days that I broke my mom and dad's heart. There was a day in the seventh grade, I don't even remember what I did, but I had to stand under the clock during recess while all my friends come by and pointed the finger and giggled at me because I got in trouble with the principal. That's who's preaching for you today. I mean, all of us have a past. There are things that we wish we could forget. We can't. But listen, He's forgot them. When you got saved, He took our sins, our sorrows, our guilt. He wrapped them up. And the Bible says He plunged them into the sea of forgetfulness, and He remembers no more. That's amazing. That's what's so amazing about grace. You bring up, as a child of God, you bring up your past to Jesus, and He'll say, I have no recollection of that. Our past has changed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. The Bible says, and even when we were dead in our trespasses or our transgressions, He made us alive together. By grace, you have been saved. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what the resurrection does. It totally changes our past. For it conquered, His resurrection conquered sin and death. He paid for sin on the cross. He conquered sin with His resurrection. You see it? Sin was dealt with. Sin was paid for. Sin was forgiven. God made Him who knew no sin. He became sin for us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Guilt and shame completely dealt with by His death. And now, the gospel has meaning. Now we can understand what He wants us to understand about the wonderful words of this book as the Holy Spirit, our resident teacher, teaches us. And because of the resurrection this morning, even though we may have 2 more years to live or 10 more years to live, or 20, or 30, or 40 more years to live, we're heaven bound with a hope. Yeah, the resurrection changes our past, but the resurrection also changes our present. Our present is changed because of the resurrection. John, in his gospel, in chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:4, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before Him. Did you hear that? He chose you in Jesus before you ever were. And so you realize to be lost, you have to try real hard. To be lost, you have to walk away. You have to spurn Him. You have to say no. You have to ignore Him. You have to reject. You got to try real hard to be lost. But I guarantee you today, there are people living their life and they are working overtime to be lost. And you may be here this morning and you may be working overtime to be lost. May I just say, don't be an April fool today. And I don't mean, I mean that. Don't be, if there's any day that you don't want to be an April fool, it's today. And ignore Jesus. And walk away from Jesus. Oh, listen. Our present has changed. There's hope. There's joy. One of the disadvantages of being a preacher and you having to sit down front because you got to get up here, you don't know really what's going on behind you, but from the look on the faces of the worship leaders this morning, I'm just going to assume that a lot of y'all were having a good time as we worship, as we sang. God has given to the church the greatest music that's ever been given to anyone. Regardless of whether it was written 100 years ago or last week, we have three daughters, and my wife and I mean, we were born in the 50s and grew up in the 60s and rebelled in the 70s and got back to on track in the late 70s, and we've been serving the Lord. And I go to different churches every week, and sometimes there's a red book hymnal with shaped notes. They still pick up the hymnal. You know, sometimes I'm the youngest person there, if you can imagine. Sometimes I go places, and there's bells and whistles. And, my girls, I got a daughter out in San Francisco that her and her husband planted a church over 10 years ago, and they meet in the bottom of a building. And they'll have four services today and have about 1,200 people come through. Our middle daughter went to church last night, and Friday night, and she was at church last night. She's at church right now up in Louisville, Kentucky, and it is a church plant, and they don't use hymn books, but they sing old songs that have been messed with. I like it. And then last night, our Phyllis's sister sent us a picture, and there's our granddaughter singing with David Crowder, with all the smoke. Imagine that. It's not, hey folks, it's not what you do. It's who you worship. Amen. And because of the resurrection, our past has changed. Our present has changed. There's joy, there's hope, there's a future. One day we're going to be glorified, but through the resurrection, through salvation, He sanctified us, and there's the justification, one way to put that, justification means that Jesus Christ, through His death and resurrection, and my placing my faith and hope in Him and letting Him transform my life, Jesus puts me in a position that when the Father looks at me, hold on, watch this, that when the Father looks at me, it's just as if I never sinned. Now, don't ask me to go any further. I didn't explain that as much as I can. But that's how Jesus looks on the saved today. Justified, freely, forgiven, with hope. And I'll tell you something, folks, because our position has changed, our posture should change. We need to walk through this world with the confidence that our hand is in the hand of Jesus. Our hope is in heaven. And we don't have to apologize to anyone for the joy that we feel and that we know and the hope that we have. But not only has our past and our present changed, our future has changed. Life can be fruitful. The life we have in Christ is to be shared with others. We live in Monroe is still a small town, but it's a lot bigger than it was when I left there 40 years ago to go to college. And we've just recently subscribed to our hometown newspaper. And not online. It comes Well, it was coming in our driveway in plastic. They started mailing it last week. It's in our mailbox. And it is a... it's an amazing thing. There are ads and ads and ads and ads. There's a few obituaries. That changes from week to week. And then there, on the front page of each section, they really don't need but one section, but hey, they got four. We're big time. Four sections. And most of the news, just about all the news, is on the front page of each section. And, you know, there are things I read in there that I think that's something. But like yesterday, I read a story that was about a friend of mine that I've known. We grew up together, went to church together. I remember his mama. She probably wasn't 6'6". She just looked it to a little kid, you know. about that big around, you know. But she loved Jesus, and she would stand in the choir and sing with her shoulders back, her chest out, with a smile on her face. I mean, everybody else could have been sucking on lemons and we wouldn't have seen it, because she just shined for Jesus. And he had a great article about his mama. I'll tell you something, when you're saved, show it. Shine for Jesus. Because you have a future and you have a hope. Paul tells us in Romans 4:25 that Jesus died for our sins, but was raised for our justification. Oh yeah, when you get saved, the Father chooses to see you through the blood of His dear Son. So, because the resurrection changes everything, today can be a new beginning for somebody in this room. Today can be a day where someone that may have walked away can come back. You know, there's a beautiful story in the New Testament about a father that had two sons. One of those sons came to him one day and said, "Daddy, why don't you go ahead, and I know you're not dead yet. I know you got a ways to go." And he really disrespected his father by saying, "Why don't you sell the family inheritance where I can have mine?" You know the story. And the Bible says that he went away into the far country, and him and he was going to live it up. And he did for a while. You know, sin is fun for a while. I'll admit that. Sin is fun for a little while. Next thing you know, he had done wasted it all. But then one of the wonderful things about this story, it says, then he came to his senses. Maybe there's somebody here today that needs to come to their senses. Like I said, don't walk out of here as an April Fool. Come to your senses. And he said, and I don't know how many times that he would have rehearsed this, but he said, "I'll get up. And I'll go to my father, and I'll say, I'm not worthy to be your son. Let me be as one of your hired servants." Yeah, I'll do that. I'll get up, I'll go to my father, and I'll say, "I'm not worthy to be called your son. Let me to be one of your hired servants." I bet he rehearsed that 100 times on his way back. And finally, he's within seeing distance of daddy. And daddy sees him. And daddy did something that no Middle Eastern man in that culture would have ever done. He ran. He ran. Wasn't dignified for a man of his stature to run. But when he saw his son, he began to run. And his son began to run. And when his son got to daddy, he said, "Daddy, I've sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Let me be as one of your hired servants. And then an amazing thing happens. It was as if the daddy totally ignored the son for a moment. And he turned and he said to his servant, go get the ring. Go get the robe. Kill a calf. We're fixed to have a party. Because my son was dead. And he's come home. Hey, if you're here this morning and if you've ever wondered if you could come back, the Word of God, and I stand on the Word of God, says you can come home. You can come back. For the Father is waiting. He's waiting with outstretched arms. Maybe you're here today. And maybe God is dealing with you like He did with me at one time. Not about salvation. Not about coming back, because you're already here. You're teaching Sunday school. You're serving. You're serving some way, but there's a tug, there's a pull in your heart. Maybe you did as I did, is I'd sit and listen to my pastor preach. I preached along with him. Matter of fact, I even thought of some ways I could do it better. That God finally dealt with that pride. But maybe God's calling you out. Maybe He's calling you to be a gospel preacher. Maybe He's calling you to be a worship leader. Maybe He's calling you to go on the mission field. I don't know how God might be calling. Maybe He's calling you to come to Him and say, you know, Lord, I don't know what it is. I just want you to know, here I am. I don't know who left the sunglasses at the cross this morning. That's not my point here. My point is this. Sometimes we come to church and we come to the cross and all we leave is a pair of sunglasses. But this morning, God's calling you to the cross and He's asking you to leave yourself. He's asking you to lay it all down on the altar. Mary and Martha and some other women, they came to the tomb weeping. They left the first time wondering. But Mary didn't get enough. She went back. She left shouting. Don't leave today weeping. Don't leave today wondering when you can leave today shouting. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our musicians are coming at this time. And I'll be down front. Some of your elders will be here. This altar will be open. What's God saying to you this today? I mean, where are you? Where are you headed? And if you stay on that same path, what's going to be the inevitable reality or conclusion? Is that where you want to end up? If not, what has to change? I don't know. I know this. Great change takes place at the foot of the cross. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You that we can celebrate on Easter Sunday the glorious reality of the resurrection. There are people all over this auditorium right now that can remember that day that they bowed at the foot of the cross. They remember that day to when they said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. They remember that day when they said, Lord, I don't deserve heaven, I deserve hell. They remember that day when they said, Lord Jesus, forgive me, come into my heart, change me, make me Your child. They remember that day when a shout took place from glory. And resurrection took place in their heart. And they became Your child. Oh Lord, may it be today that someone, a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, a son or a daughter, a friend that's been invited, will meet Jesus for the first time. Leave here shouting, Lord, may the day be the day when someone who's wandered returns, or when someone that's been called out responds to that call. Heavenly Father, we wait on You, we worship You, and we thank You that You've made it possible because of the obedience of Your Son, our Savior, even Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Church, let's stand. And as the worship leaders lead us in singing, this altar's open. I'll be here at the front. If anyone needs to come and pray, if there's a decision you need to make, you step out and come.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid Him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name.
Opportunity of being with you today. We'll be praying for your pastor, ministry, and safe return home. And thank you once again for your partnership with Georgia Baptist. I'm going to pass it back to you, brother. And I don't know if you was expecting that, but let you close it out, all right? God bless you.